Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who has instructed the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us to be wise in what is right, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Chapter 1. Rose. Marital joy can be experienced even amid sorrows. It involves accepting that marriage is an inevitable mixture of enjoyment and struggles, tensions and repose, pain and relief, satisfactions and longings, annoyances and pleasures. Pope Francis. The confessional, a small wooden room that smelled faintly of incense and aged wood, was dimly lit. Father Richard, with his gentle eyes and serene presence, leaned slightly forward as he gave me absolution. His voice, though soft, carried the weight of authority and kindness. Whatever good you do and suffering you endure, heal your sins, help you to grow in holiness, and reward you with eternal life. Go in peace, Father Richard said at the end of my confession. Father, do you have a few minutes to talk? My name is Rose, and I've been married for 16 years, but I'm so weighed down with sadness and have lost my sense of peace. Even after this confession, I'm still ready to give up on my marriage and leave my husband. I sighed deeply, my shoulders slumping. I don't know how much longer I can live with this pain and suffering. After years away from the sacrament of reconciliation, I felt safe enough to bear my soul to this kind priest. He listened compassionately, encouraged me when I struggled to be sincere, and gave me the joy of the absolution I sought. Yet, my overwhelming tiredness and the desire to be free from my marital pain still weighed heavily on my heart. The confessional felt like a sanctuary where I could finally unload my burdens. Absolutely, Rose. I have all the time you need, Father Richard said, as if there weren't several other people waiting in the line for confession, and I hadn't just taken a while to unburden years of sin. His calm demeanor and unwavering focus made me feel like I had all his attention at that moment. Tell me, what's going on in your marriage? It feels like the love I once had for my spouse has been replaced with hate, or worse, indifference. I don't feel loved or appreciated. He hardly acknowledges I exist or pays any attention to me. My voice cracked as I spoke, my words hanging heavily in the air. When I try to tell him how I feel unloved, ignored, and taken for granted, he accuses me of constantly criticizing him, and he just shuts down and walks away. Then I get upset and lash out, saying some pretty mean things in the heat of the moment. But you already know that since you just heard my confession. The pain and guilt I felt from our latest blow-up had driven me to confession today. I'd been getting all the kids ready for school, hunting for lost shoes, packing lunches, loading homework into backpacks, when he came strolling into the kitchen still in his pajamas. I'd been up for over an hour, but he was starting the day late and had decided to sleep in. I was already annoyed that he was home and not helping with a tedious morning routine, so when he asked why there wasn't any fresh coffee, I couldn't hold back a snide, defensive remark about how worthless he was in the kitchen. His response about not being allowed in my kitchen only made things worse. And then, in the blink of an eye, I was yelling. The kindergartner was crying, coffee grounds were scattered across the countertop, and he was walking away, unwilling to hear what I had to say, leaving more than one mess for me to clean up. I see, Father Richard responded. That sounds pretty rough, and I can understand how difficult living like this every day would be. Tell me, what's your goal for this life? He asked, his voice steady and soothing. That was not the next question I was expecting from him. Somewhat confused, I asked, as in, what do I want to accomplish in life? Or what legacy do I want to leave behind for my kids? My mind began to wander, recalling my many hopes and lofty goals that I had once dreamt. I had always imagined being the best wife and the most amazing mother ever. My family would be as picture-perfect as my social media feed suggested. Loving, perfectly put together, high-achieving, flawless. I would be the perfect hostess, and my home would be a place of comfort and rest, an oasis in the middle of a wild world for family and friends. Today's reality looked nothing like those beautiful dreams. My husband and I argued over every little thing. We argued about how the coffee is made and my tendency to leave the gas tank on empty. We fought about the kids' sports and even the shows we wanted to watch. I felt like we fought all the time. The house was in constant chaos and disarray, so I rarely invited friends over. I loved my children endlessly, but I was so emotionally taxed and physically exhausted that my patience was thin, even with them. My fatigue never ended. Bigger than that, Father Richard said gently, at the end of your life, where do you want to end up? Oh, heaven, of course, I responded, wondering if he could hear the uncertainty and disbelief in my voice. I knew that's what I wanted, but who wouldn't? At this point in my life, I wasn't sure I believed it was possible. Heaven, right answer, he confirmed enthusiastically. What's your plan to get there? Plan? Do I have to have a plan to get into heaven? Can't I just live a good life, go to Mass on Sundays, and not commit any really big sins? I didn't remember anyone ever telling me in all my years of Catholic education that I needed a plan to get to heaven. We had the Ten Commandments, the sacraments, the Bible, the Magisterium, and the saints. Didn't they point out the way for all Christians? Living a good life is a beginning and a good start, but we need to go deeper and understand God's plan for your life, the good priest replied. I didn't understand. God has a plan for me? Yep, he responded, one specifically for you. It is in this marriage, to this specific man, that God intends you to work out your salvation. I'm not saying you shouldn't work hard on fixing your marriage. Getting help from a good marriage therapist could be a great idea, but there will always be suffering in your marriage. Even in the best marriages, suffering can't be avoided. My job, as a spiritual director, is to help you turn that suffering into the currency you will use to purchase heaven. I'm not sure even heaven is worth this constant suffering and heartache, I admitted, sharing something with Father Richard I wouldn't dare utter to another soul. How can I endure 30 or 40 more years of this? We're only 17 years in, and the thought of tomorrow overwhelms me. Let's not focus on what the next 40 years may bring, Father Richard said with a smile in his voice. Instead, let's keep our eye on the prize, heaven, for all eternity. With an almost childlike enthusiasm, he continued, The Catechism tells us heaven is our deepest longing and the state of definitive happiness. Happiness forever and ever and ever. Happiness is compared to the joy of a wedding banquet and is described as paradise and peace. Happiness that will wipe away your current sufferings and trials. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. I let that thought sink in for a minute. After all, St. Paul told the Corinthians, What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. I had to admit heaven and all its glory was beyond anything my limited human mind could comprehend. The saints and mystics, graced with glimpses of this eternal reality, were utterly incapable of describing its magnificence and grandeur. Father Richard continued, It's helpful to envision what heaven will be like. Picture your mansion, the one Christ prepared for you from the beginning of time. Imagine living in the warmth of his constant loving presence, seeing him face to face the way you look upon the face of a beloved friend. Think of the best day of your earthly life and multiply that by a million or so. That is what you will experience every moment, forever, in heaven. It's pretty spectacular when you think about it, I admitted. But here's the paradox. Heaven can't be gained without suffering. Christ, perfect God and perfect man, suffered and died for our salvation. He, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, chose to suffer in unspeakable ways to open heaven's gates for you and me. He was mocked, belittled, abandoned, criticized, and doubted by those closest to him. Those who loved him and would later die for him left him when he needed them most. If he, innocent as he was, suffered all of this for our salvation, how could we be called to do anything less? As St. Elizabeth Ann Seton said, can you expect to go to heaven for nothing? Did not our Savior track the whole way to it with his tears and blood? The suffering you experience in your marriage is not meaningless nor inconsequential. Quite the opposite, actually. Embracing it is the very means of your salvation and, frankly, of your husband's salvation as well. It's the gold with which you will purchase eternal happiness, the path you must walk. This is precisely what God called you to when he put the desire for marriage in your heart, gave you the vocation, and brought your husband into your life. You committed to this when you entered into the sacrament, making vows to your husband before God. We need to be convinced that eternal heaven is not only worth earthly suffering, but that getting there requires it. As Saint Seraphim of Sarvaux said, "If you knew the sweetness that awaits the sounds of the just in heaven, you would resolve to endure any sorrow, persecutions, and insults in this passing life with gratitude." Our Lord asks us to suffer, Father Richard finished, giving me so much to think about. But Father, everything you say sounds wonderful, and my head gets it. But my heart, emotionally, I don't want the pain. I just want to be happy, I told him, feeling the first flutters of hope I'd experienced in a long time. It will take time, but eventually your head, heart, and soul will align. If you're serious about heaven, perhaps you'd like to begin regular spiritual direction with me, he suggested. Are you familiar with the idea? Not really, I admitted, feeling a mix of embarrassment, curiosity, and apprehension. I shifted my position, my knees feeling a little sore from kneeling for over 30 minutes. Here's how it works. You and I can meet regularly in my office, let's say every other week, to help you grow in your love of God and your abandonment to his perfect providence. Together, we'll explore your life and discover God in the middle of it. Vatican II reminds us that God is calling all of us to holiness right in the middle of the world. So, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll help you discover what that means in your life. He further explained, with me, there are four parts to spiritual direction. First, I'll give you a short aspiration to repeat throughout the day. This is to help you maintain a focused presence of God and acquire a specific virtue that will be helpful at this particular time in your life. Second, you'll try to spend 15 minutes a day in mental prayer, and I'll give you something specific to pray about based on your spiritual needs at the time. This is really important because there can be no growth in the spiritual life without prayer. Third, I'll recommend something spiritual to read related to your current struggle. I ask you to read from that particular recommendation just 10 minutes a day. You'll be surprised how much it helps. And fourth, I'll suggest something specific you can do each day to grow spiritually. This may seem a bit overwhelming, and every day won't be perfect, but little by little, if you do these things daily and we meet consistently, I believe you'll start to see and feel a change in yourself. So, what do you say? Are you interested? I'm willing to give it a try. Yes, Father Richard replied emphatically. I was hoping you would say that. Does meeting every other Wednesday at 9 a.m. work for you? I can make that work. Actually, with school drop-off, that's perfect, I told him, beginning to feel a spark of hope. Knowing I had this twice monthly meeting was already giving me peace amid the stress I'd been feeling for months. Great. Any questions? Father Richard asked. This is more than I expected from confession today. Thanks for caring. You're welcome, Rose. The Holy Spirit led you here today. I don't take that lightly. It's a blessing for me to work with you. It's a blessing for me to direct your soul. Thank you again, I told him in disbelief that this priest was willing to spend so much time with me. I was still going back to life as it was when I stepped through the church doors, but now I felt slightly lighter and better equipped to manage the day. That's what I'm here for, he told me with conviction. And Rose? Yes, I replied. Don't forget to do your penance so that you can receive the full grace of the sacrament. Our Lord is so pleased you came here today seeking his mercy and healing. Next time, bring a notebook and let's meet in my office. But today, just give me a moment to jot down your homework and pass it through the door. See you in 2 weeks. Go deeper. Repeat, may my life be united to your holy will, my God. Pray, using Psalm 84, how lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Read, Saint Jose Maria Escriva's homily toward holiness from Friends of God. Do, list the qualities your spouse possessed when you fell in love. Try to add at least one thing every day. Today's reading comes from the newest scepter title, Rekindled Hearts, A Spiritual Journey to Marital Healing by Doug Hinderer, Chapter 1.